it is good that we meet in God's house once again at the close of His day. The last 2 weeks we have considered the world before the flood, that one great earth-shaking event when God judged all humankind with water. And the world that was left was a brand new world, washed, purged of all the evil, violence, and wickedness of men, and saved out of all the inhabitants of the world one family of 8, which is recorded in the Chinese language word chuan. The word zhou with bako. So we have discussed that years ago, but to refresh your memory, that the Chinese descendants coming out of the branch of Noah carried with them from the land of whatever they originated in the Middle East, right to the country of China, and incorporated the word Chuan, 8 mouths, 8 lives, in a craft of a seagoing nature. How come? Amazing record of the Genesis event in the Chinese language. While God cleansed the whole earth of the physical deterioration and pollution left by mankind, all were gone, swept clean, washed away, forever beyond recall. So we have now a brand new world. It is hard to imagine what kind of a world it was with only 8 souls. Coming out of the ark, the craft that saved them from being drowned, and they came out to be the progenitors or the ancestors of all the rest of humankind today, 6.5 billion people out of 3 couples, 3 sons of Noah and their 3 wives. 6 people. Today is 6 billion people. Amazing. While God can cleanse physically the whole earth, nevertheless, the evil seed left inside the human heart from the time of the fall of Adam and Eve remains until this day, that we see the results of it. Everywhere, evil, corruption, rebellion against God, and sinfulness is present in every place. Please turn to chapter 9, so that we may have a glimpse of the very early earth. Just after the flood, what kind of earth was it? Verse 1 of chapter 9 is very meaningful and instructive. For we must return to this verse to understand why God was very displeased with the idea of building a tower. God blessed Noah and his sons as he had blessed them by saving them from the global flood. He continues to bless them. Amazing. Let us in the story of the flood continually be reminded, God is a gracious God, full of compassion and forgiveness. And so in verse 1 we read, God blessed Noah and his sons. Even though those sons harbored the evil of sin, the seed of sin that goes on in every human heart. For flood waters can wash away physical filth, but not the evil in the heart of man. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, now this is the critical and crucial command to humanity at the very beginning of the new world, as it were, after the flood. What was God's commandment? Number one, be fruitful, multiply. And number two, replenish the earth. Repopulate. Can you imagine the whole wide earth of 25,000 miles diameter at the equator? And all the continents, only 8 souls, 4 couples only. Must be a very lonely place, don't you think? But that was the beginning of a new generation to come. Those whom God had spared from the earth-destroying waters. Now, it is interesting here to see two changes that came over the earth. Number one is a change in diet. As I mentioned before the flood, men and animals were all vegetarian, all, because the Lord God did not allow them and had created them all to be herbivorous, not carnivorous. Right. Verse 2. From now on, the fear of man will come upon every beast because there is going to be killing of animals for food. Read on, verse 2, and the fear of you, the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, every fowl of the air, and all that move upon the earth, and upon all fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. No longer are they going to be man-friendly and tame. That's why today we got to be careful, because there are so many ferocious and hurtful wild beasts. Not before the flood, you know. So that, as I explained to you, those people who decry the whole idea of a global flood say, how can it be? Catching tigers and leopards and lions and elephants and those wild beasts. Stop. Wait a minute. They were not wild. So those people who imagined that it was a great task, impossibility to get those animals into the ark. At that time, all animals were man-friendly. But no more. Verse 3, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, even as the green herb before this, that I have given you all things. The only thing is, verse 4, the flesh with the life which is the blood you will not eat. So this is a commandment that comes because of God's creation. You know that if you lose a certain amount of blood, your life stops. That is why it is so important in our medical services to have a system of blood replacement, the blood transfusion service. Some of you here have begun to donate blood until you are aged about 65. Then they stop taking your blood because they respect age. Until then, we have a very vigorous and active blood donation service. And those who reach a certain number get a gold medal or some kind of prize, which is very commendable. Now, the next event I want to share with you briefly is the appearance of the rainbow. What does it tell you about the rainbow? Because this beautiful creation of God, which shines forth in seven major colors in the sky, is really a beautiful piece of work that God puts in the sky. Now, what is the significance of the rainbow? Answer: until after the flood, there had been no rainbows. Why is it? A rainbow comes only because of the presence of minute water particles suspended in air. And the sun shines through, and going through those particles is broken up into its component colors. Remember, before the sunlight goes through the raindrops, it is just light. Well, it is bright, and you may call it white light. But once it goes through those minute, tiny, microscopic almost, particles of water, it comes out rainbow. Read that now. Verse 11, the Lord says, I will establish my covenant with you. This is a covenant, and it is repeated in every verse 6 times. We have a wonderful God who tells us what is in His mind, His plan, His intention, and He, in no uncertain terms. And He keeps that promise. It is a covenant. Verse 11, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. This is a token of God's faithfulness. The Lord says, no more. I will not rain and flood out the earth to the extent of the whole globe being overflowed and all of mankind destroyed. Never again. However, God is not unconscious of the rebellion of man. Whereas the flood waters can destroy physical things, the rebellion in the heart, the sin, continues, and that cannot be washed away by water. Verse 12, God said, this is the token of the covenant, which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Before the flood, no rainbow. Now the first rainbow was seen by Noah and his family. It must have been a very beautiful sight as they were offering to God for salvation through that year-long flood. Phenomenal, unprecedented flooding of the whole globe. Now the waters have receded. Did I mention to you? How did the water recede? The same amount of water and no earth. How is it that the Bible says the waters kept on subsiding, receding, and then appeared the earth? How come? Do you remember? By the process of realignment. Readjustment. Parts of the earth rose, parts of the earth subsided. 0.04%. Whereas before this realignment of the earth's crust, there was no land. Now the highest point is Mount Everest, nearly 7 miles, and the deepest point is in the Pacific Ocean. Go round down 7 miles. Just by moving some land up, sinking some land down, 0.04%, you get Singapore rise up out of the water. Australia, continents, High mountains, plains, islands. Amazing work of God. The same God who put the earth in space, created the earth, the mountains, and flooded it out. The same God says, realign, change the topography, the surface of the earth. Some parts up, some parts down, and the water will take its new place. But up in the sky, see, every time you see this beautiful rainbow, it reminds you we have a God who is a covenant-keeping God. Please remember this. Whereas we make promises, and as the saying goes, promises are made to be broken by men, yes, but not by God. The Lord says, I will not flood out the earth anymore with water. And this covenant-keeping God continues to sustain the earth, and never again will He flood out the earth. But that doesn't mean that God will not judge the earth for its wickedness and sinfulness again. Of course. Whereas the first judgment was by water, the second and final judgment of the earth will be by fire. And this is where we come weekly to worship, weekly to remember, weekly to commemorate the rising again of our Lord Jesus from the grave. For this is the major, the only problem that bugs us all. The sin that is in us, how can we get rid of it? And we are going to see this sin surface in the first mass global rebellion of man against his Creator. Can you imagine it? Those who had recently only the memory of the great flood and God's salvation grace were still fresh in their memories. It was not many years before that God had saved humankind. Now suddenly we come to Genesis chapter 11. That is our major topic for tonight. Verse 1. The whole earth was of one language and one speech. At this moment, I pause a moment and request you to think, what is language? Now I'm speaking to you in English. You all understand? What is English? It is a language. It is the language of a medium of communication. Whereas in the process of creation, God made all the animals by a word of His mouth. Let there be. And there were. Land animals, sea animals, by the myriads, unnumbered, by the word of His mouth. When it came to creation of man, God shaped him with the dust, after His own image, and breathed into his nostrils, which he never did in any animal. Now do you get the point? Whereas I can speak to you, and you can understand, because of there is a language. No animal can ever communicate with another animal intelligibly like we do. None at all. So-called researchers and scientists have tried, and all have failed totally, absolutely. Tried what? Trying to teach the most man-like animal, the ape or the monkey, to learn to talk, to learn to express in intelligent manner whatever thoughts it goes through. Even to teach the monkey how to think, and then how to express that thought in a way that is intelligible. They tried all kinds of tricks and methods, and the net result is kosong, nil. Monkeys can never communicate, neither any other animals, beyond a certain level of very basic, low level of communication. There is, but never with a language. 2 weeks ago, I was in Batam for the Bible camp. And this is the Tengah BP Church. And one day, I happened to drink a cup of Milo. You know, familiar with Milo? And I washed the cup. And there were just a few specks of Milo left in the basin, which I did not think would cause any problem. When I came back from the morning's service, to my amazement, there were hundreds of ants in that wash basin. Amazing. Some of them almost invisible. So small. Now, what happened? One ant, most likely, first came across the drop of Milo. And wow! You know, ants are blind. They don't have eyes like we have. Is that correct? I was told. Is there any scientist in the midst who says ants have eyes? No, eh? Is there anyone who objects to this statement? No, all agree. Ants communicate, but not by eyes. They can taste Milo. Wow! Sugar, yes! And the next thing is, ants are very generous. They don't keep it to themselves, but they run quickly to their nest and say, now I do not know how they communicate, but they got antennas and little feelers. Say, there is food, there is food. And the rest come. My dear friends, ants have the ant language. Enough to talk about basic necessities, basic feelings. For example, if there is something that is dangerous and hurtful, they will also tell each other and they run away. Amazing things. So with all the other animals. So with the monkeys and the tigers and the ferocious wild animals. There is a basic communication, not language. They cannot express. They cannot create. Only men. Why? In creation, God breathed. So that you and I have the breath of God. And that expresses itself in a soul and a spirit that we receive from God. And we can think. You say, can't the monkeys think? Yes. Up to a level they can say, well, you are my master. They understand. You feed me every day, I'm kind to you. Okay, they don't bite you. Up to that level, very basic, a few elementary. Hungry, he can come for food. Frightened, he can run away. Basic feelings, basic ideas can be communicated, but no language. Now you say, what is the importance or significance of language? Without language, we have no service tonight. You don't sing. You can't talk. You can't tell each other a message. What is it God wants us to know? God wants us to know how He loves us and how He has saved us and how He continues to look after us and how He prepares a home. Now that is all language, a message, intelligible, understandable, always reproducible, and can be propagated. You can receive the message and go home and say the same thing to your children and to other people. There is language, medium of communication that preserves and conserves this message. You can relate to others. Outside of humankind, there is no such message, neither among fish or birds or land animals. Now, as I said, whereas a flood can destroy all the physical filth and the human rebellion among individuals, all that is finished, the hearts of those who survived the flood in Noah's three children and their wives, that evil that goes on is not cleansed, as we shall shortly see. Now let's come back to chapter 11. The whole earth was one language at that time. Where was the whole earth? In the Middle East, where we believe the flood began and the flood ended, that went around the whole world, but the beginning and the ending of the flood episode was in the Middle East. At that time, all the population was centered around that area, probably in the Babylon and Middle Eastern area. Verse 2, and it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Verse 4, and they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, that we will not be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Amen. Did you get the message? What did God tell them to do? In chapter 9, God blessed Noah and said to his sons, be fruitful, multiply, repopulate the earth. Go on. This is the job I've given to you. See that your sons and daughters disperse, and see that there will be people in other parts of the earth where there are now no people. But these who had grown and multiplied, in chapter 11, there is rebellion. As I said, the heart is not cleansed, and the rebellion in the heart prevails and grows and begins to manifest itself. What did they say? Verse 4 is very significant. We will build a city, a tower, to reach to heaven. What does that mean? We will express our will, not God's will. The Lord says, you have to go and populate the earth. That's all you are required to do. They say, no, our energies are not to do that. Our energies are now going to be directed because we have a language. Do you understand? You cannot have any project, any kind of scheme, a building project, for example, unless there is language, because one man cannot do it. But a group of men, under direction, instruction, information, they can do it. Without that information, impossible. Now this is now getting close to the heart of the message tonight. The origin of multiple languages. Today, it is estimated there are 5,000 languages on earth. Did you know that? Amazing. How did it come about? Here it is. We are going to read about it. All because man rebelled against God. God said, do this. Man says, no, I'm not interested. I'll do that. Do what I feel like doing. We're going to build a tower. You go to the land of Iraq and you find the remnants of these towers called ziggurats. It's a very large pyramidal kind of structure. And with each tier, it gets smaller and smaller, but higher and higher. And the tallest one is about 300 feet. Now, to say we'll build it to reach heaven is not literally true, but the idea is we are going to reach up so that we will create a kind of rallying point This is where we will come. We don't want to be scattered. The Lord says, go into all the parts of the earth and populate the children of Noah, mainly led by the descendants of Ham. You remember there were Shem, Ham, Japheth. Ham and his sons, and the one who is most notorious is Nimrod. He led them and founded a first city, the big city, Babel. And he says, we will stay here. No, God, you can keep your idea. We have our ideas better. We will build a tower, go up, and we will meet here with our God. They have displaced and replaced God. God no longer is important to them. Verse 1. The whole earth was one language. And because of that one language and one speech, they could communicate. Today we call it IT. Is that right? I ask so many people, what are you doing nowadays? They say, I'm in IT. Information technology. Years ago, there was no such thing. Today, it is the thing, the in thing. Everybody must understand what is information technology. Because you're using electronic devices, instant communication, constant communication, non-stop. Even while you are eating, the phone can go, SMS comes through. And all kinds of ways of getting at you. Except those people like me who don't do internet and do computers. But still, the phone can come for us. Now, these people who, in that primitive state, they said, no God, we know better. We're going to build a tower. You can forget about populating the earth. We will remain here. We will be one people, one language. This is, by the way, the beginning of the ecumenical movement. Do you understand? What is the ecumenical movement? What are we talking about when you say you come to our Bible Presbyterian Church? One of our distinctives is we do not participate nor fellowship with any of the elements of the ecumenical movement. Do you understand? It all harks back to this, Genesis 11. The whole earth, one language, one speech, and one aim to dethrone God. We don't want God. We don't need Him. We have ourselves. We have one language. We are one people. We are united. And together, putting our hands to work, we will build a tower. And we will know how to communicate with the God of heaven, but not the God who saved us. So this is the beginning of the ecumenical movement. Mind you, our God is never taken by surprise. Neither is He embarrassed by all this. God knew the end from the beginning. He knows all about all these things. And our God is never taken by surprise. God has always the last say. No man can rebel in this way. Verse 4. So they said, let us build. Verse 6, then the Lord, this is a record that keeps us informed that we may know our God is an all-knowing God, all-powerful, and all-compassion. Behold, the people is one. They have one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Verse 7, let us go down, says God, us. You notice, God refers to Himself as us. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the great triune God. And there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of this project called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Amen. Mankind has always wanted to rule the earth. Every power tried to do it. The four great powers that are described in the Word of God start off with Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. Then we have the Medo-Persians, then the Greeks, and then the Romans. All of them up to now have failed to conquer the whole earth and make everything into one language and one power. Never have they succeeded. But today we are close to the fulfillment of the one world system coming. All because there is going to be a one end time world, guess the word, language. As God had confounded and aborted the first attempt, God will allow, by the developments that we shall shortly see, allow the development of a one world language. Can you now guess what we are driving at? One world language that everybody will understand, and then they will say, go to, let us build for us a one world system, the new world order coming. What language is it? After the First World War, about 100 years ago, the French always thought they were number one in the world. No, but that was a self-exaltation and self-promotion, and they felt very important and very proud, as the French usually are. But God's plan is not for the French to come up. God's plan is for the English. Now, we all are speaking English today. This one language is going to unite the whole earth. Today, do you know that many countries, in fact, all countries, are seriously learning English? When the Olympics was coming to China, all the Chinese, especially in Beijing, taxi drivers, hawkers, and shopkeepers were all pressing to learn Chinese, learn English. And they very soon began to speak English of a Chinese Beijing kind. Do you know what they call it? Chinglish. We have Singlish. There's Chinglish. There are many, many other variations or variants of English. So many. I've forgotten. There must be about 30 variations. In Bangladesh, it's Banglish. And there are so many. I'm sorry, I can't repeat them all. The one language today is the computer language, is the scientific language, diplomatic language, language of commerce, language of international trade. You cannot do except you use English. Of course, not everybody on earth is now able with English. Not everybody. But the time is coming that all that matter, every communication must be in English. Do you know that all airport air traffic controllers in every aircraft, in every airport, must communicate in English? Did you know that? Because some years ago, somebody gave a command to the aircraft, to the pilot, And he got it wrong. And instead of doing this, he did something else. And the plane almost crashed. After that, no. International authorities says, we must be wise. Don't be too proud. Say, I only want to use my own language. Then you can cause great grave accidents in mid-air. Only English. In technology, in diplomacy, in communications on an important level, it is estimated 80% of all internet communications is English. Now you can multiply that. Now what will come out of this? We will conclude with a very short reference. The result of this restoration of the language barrier that God has allowed to develop, that mankind can once again communicate intelligently. Revelation chapter 17. Verse 1. There came out one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me and said, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore, the evil, lustful, immoral woman that sits upon many waters. This is referring to the false church. Verse 2 of Revelation 17, with whom the kings of the earth, for kings, read leaders, the great leaders, have committed fornication, meaning to say, have diplomatic and other favorable connections with, this is spiritual language, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of a fornication, because this system, exemplified by the immoral woman or the false church, the whore or the harlot. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman. For woman, read the false church. This is spiritual language. Upon a scarlet colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. This refers to the revived Roman Empire, which is the present EU. Verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her false religion. All right, that gives you a clue. It is a false church. It is the greatest church, the biggest and most powerful church, the only church that is in every country on earth. Verse 5. Now here is the conclusion and the key to your understanding of the end time ecumenical movement, which is the final fulfillment of the first Babel. This is the last Babel. And the word used here is Babylon. This is the Greek word for the Hebrew Babel. Verse 5. Upon her head, her forehead, was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. This is now almost in place, dear friends. You may not understand, you may not know it, but I'm telling you gently and without great fanfare. The false church is already in place. Every country, every state on earth has part of it. And together it forms the great end time Babylon. Why? Because now there is communications available to transmit this great plan, which was frustrated when God confused the language So that those people who tried to build the first ecumenical tower failed. Today it is a reality. Are you ready? We in this church keep reminding ourselves and reminding our members, we must be separate, holy unto God. The church of Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. Pure, unblemished, virgin, kept pure for the use of the Lord. And this is the true church, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and kept pure for Him. Whereas the false church is here described, verse 5. Mystery. Why mystery? People do not understand. You tell them, they cannot believe you. So it is mystery. What is it? Babylon. Back to Genesis chapter 11. Babel is now revived, up and coming, and active, and moving with great speed. To what? Unite all the churches today. Almost all of Protestantism is agreed to return to Rome, to be part of this great Babylon. This is the end time fulfillment, when language has been removed as a barrier. There is ability to communicate. Mother of harlots, mother of all false religion. True religion is Jesus Christ, the Virgin. That is the true one. All the counterfeits, all the false ones are the harlots. And here you are, mother of harlots, abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs during the Reformation. Millions of believers were killed and their blood was shed. But the end is coming. It is now in place. This false church, this great Babylon, is ready and up and running. Are you ready for the end time, dear friends? Be steadfast, unmovable, dearly beloved. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor in vain is not in vain in the Lord. But thanks be unto God who already gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, the coming King of Kings, Lord of Lords. May He bless you tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, grant to us the spiritual understanding, that we may understand why you did confound the effort to build the first Babel by the confusion of language. And now thou hast allowed mankind to develop a language system that communicates intelligently. To the success of the building of the end time one world church, O Lord, may we take this and ever be ready for the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His blessed name we pray. Amen.